We have been going through a series entitled Things Jesus Never Said, and today, Jesus never said there is no hope. Aren't you glad that the Lord told us there is hope? Amen. We talked about that today already. Taylor was talking about his little boy, talking about the rapture, and what's odd is Heather was talking to us about the rapture this week, and she said that she had a dream that the rapture had took place, and she looked around the church, and everybody's clothes was laying here, and she was left behind. And she said, "Dad, what's funny is Lisa Jeffers came out and said, 'What's going on?'" I said, "So you and Lisa." I said, "Heather, at least it's going to get you for that." She said, "It was so strange, but she wanted to know what happened, why they left us." But I hope that you are not left in the rapture, amen, that you know without a doubt that you were saved, and if the rapture took place today, that you would be caught up to meet the Lord. Amos chapter 4, and I want to look at one verse. I'll let you be seated, verse number 12. The Bible says, "Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." Can we read that last phrase together? Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. I want you to be seated. We're going to talk today that some things Jesus never said. Jesus never said in his word, there is no hope. As a matter of fact, from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, you will find that this book is saturated with hope. And Amos is a certain type of preacher that is going to extend hope in his sermons. And I pray that this will be a blessing to you as we talk about there is hope in Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you, Lord, for the day that you have given us. What an exciting time it is to be a part of the family of God here at Parkway Baptist Temple. I thank you, Lord, for all of our many friends that are gathered here today. Lord, for the baptismal pool being stirred. Lord, for the missions we did yesterday, for what you're doing here today. Father, we praise you for your goodness and for your grace. So help us, Lord, in this time together to look into your word and help us to rightly divide the word of truth, and we will thank you for it. And all God's people can say, amen. Now, when you study the book of Amos, you'll find out that because the people of God were not listening to God, the Lord decided that he would get the nation's attention. And I've often wondered, what's it going to take for the Lord to get our attention? You would think that the tsunamis and the floods and the earthquakes that we are experiencing today, it would get our attention. But sadly, it's not got the Lord's attention. People's not calling upon the Lord. You know who they're calling on today? They're calling on government. I can tell you this, friend, government is not going to do for you what God can do for you, amen? And we need to cry out to God. And so here, the Lord's people were not crying out to him, so God says, I'm going to get their attention. And the Lord sends not only an earthquake that you find in the first half of the chapter, but you find in chapter 1, but you find also that the Lord sent a drought. It was a severe drought, but the drought did not get the people of God's attention, nor did it bring them to their knees. So what the Lord decides to do here in the book of Amos, and because he couldn't get their attention with a sign from God, he rises up a messenger, and he gives them a sermon from God. God always has a way of using his man. They wouldn't heed to the signs of God, so now the Lord is giving them a sermon. Yesterday, in our meeting that we had, this old world is full of signs where God's trying to get our attention. But God gave us a man yesterday when Brother Tony Bennett stood up and preached to them, and the Lord gave them a sermon to get their attention, to show them that there is something far greater in this world than what we have to offer, and that is eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord rises up a man by the name of Amos. And when you read about Amos, Amos is not a famous individual. As a matter of fact, he's just a simple farmer. He lives about 10 miles south of Jerusalem, and God called upon him. And Amos chapter 3, verse 8 says, this is what his message was. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? These are the words that God says, Amos, I want you to go and I want you to preach this message of judgment to the people. He wasn't a famous prophet. As a matter of fact, Amos says he wasn't a prophet at all later on in his book. He's not a famous individual. He is a simple farmer who is living out his life in obedience to God. And God calls upon him and says, here's the words I'm going to put in your mouth. Verse number 8, the lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord hath spoken, who can but prophesy? The Bible tells us, in fact, that we learn from chapter 1 and verse number 2 that the very theme of his prophecy was this: the Lord will roar from Zion. That's another way of saying judgment is coming. God called upon Amos to stand in the gap and declare judgment is coming. I'm here to tell you this morning that I believe that upon this nation, judgment is coming upon America. As a matter of fact, I believe we see the signs of judgment already upon America. And so God calls Amos and says, I want you to stand in the gap and I want you to preach in such a way that judgment is coming. Amos' sermon gives us a very vivid description of God's judgment against the nation of Israel. When you look at chapter number 2, and if you'll turn there real quickly, you'll see his message against the people of God. Chapter 2, verse 7, he condemns the citizens of Israel for oppressing the poor. Not only oppressing the poor, but also defiling the Lord's holy name. We are living in a day-to-day where we have much oppression of the poor, and we have God's name profaned all through our streets. The Bible says in verse number 8, he speaks out against idol worship. And then in verse 9 and verse 12, he rebukes them for their rejection of God's salvation. Now I want you to think about this. Here is Amos, and he's standing before the people of God, and he rebukes them for oppressing the poor. He rebukes them for defiling the Lord's holy name. He rebukes them for their idol worship, and he rebukes them for their rejection of God's salvation. Friend, when I read Amos chapter 2, it's like reading about not Israel, but America today. We are living in very perilous times. If you believe that, say amen. Basically, what's happening in Amos is there is hypocrisy, there is greed, injustice has prevailed throughout the land, and true worship of God have been replaced with empty religion and dependence upon pagan gods. It is a book of despair. It's a book of judgment. And God has called Amos to preach this severe message of judgment upon the people of God. Now, what I find out when I study the book of Amos is this. Not only is Amos an individual who preaches against or for the judgment of God and on the judgment of God, but when you look at his ministry, he's not only resounding the judgment of God, but at the end of his book, he is offering hope to those who are doomed and damned and living in despair. He is watching out over those who are, he is extending hope. He is telling them that there is a way of escape, that God has made a way. And I can tell you today, friend, that in this culture that we are living in, though it may be doomed and depraved and damned and in despair in many ways, though there is depravity on every side, I can tell you this, God has extended hope through the message of the cross of Jesus Christ. There is hope today. If your marriage is failing, there is hope today. If you have a wayward son or daughter living in sin, there is hope today. If you are in despair and you need encouragement, I'm telling you this morning, there is hope, not in government, not in the president, not in our Senate, not in our Congress, and not in this economy. There is hope in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? If you believe it, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. And so I believe that every preacher and every teacher ought to preach on the judgment of God. We shouldn't shy away from it. We shouldn't try to be politically correct nor theologically relevant for the culture. We've got to preach the truth. And so Amos stands up and resounds with a message of judgment, but at the end of the book, Amos extends hope, and it's hope in the Lord. Amos 9, verse 11. In that day will I rise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as the days of old. Basically, Nehemiah is saying there is hope in the promises of God. There is hope in the promises of the Lord. One pastor wrote, I want to know Christ not because it makes me preach better, but because it allows me to preach with integrity. Listen, it allows me to preach with hope, with a sensitive heart and with conviction, and that's better than preaching better. I don't want to preach better. I want to know Jesus. Amen. I think if we know Jesus more and we are intimately involved in the life of God, it extends hope. And when we have hope, our preaching is energetic. When we have hope, our singing will be better. When we have hope in Jesus Christ, our witness and our church and our community will be better. It says, somebody said, and he said it well, if you could convince a man there was no hope, he would curse the day that he was born. Hope is an indispensable quality of life, and he is right. Hope is what we need. Hope is what we look to. Hope is what we long for. That's what this world, it's the greatest human need today, and that is hope, because man is living in despair. It's years ago, there was an S-4 submarine that was rammed by another ship, and it quickly began to sink. The entire crew was trapped in a metal prison of death as they are floating down in despair. The rescuers came on the scene and divers quickly dove in to try to rescue the people in the submarine. One of the divers dove down deep and he put his helmet right up against the submarine, and he could hear very faintly a tap. And it was a tap of Morse code. And as he picked up the code, he wrote it out and said, "Is there any hope? Is there any hope?" And I believe that the world today is crying out, "Is there any hope?" In whatever code or whatever manner, whether they're crying out in their tears, whether they are stating it in their secular books, all of humanity cries out, "Is there any hope?" Ladies and gentlemen, hope indeed is the basis of all human existence, and it's what the church has to offer, not something that we have intrinsically, but it's what God has. Can you say amen? We offer and extend hope. Somebody may say, Jesus never said there was no hope. That's a fallacy and a lie. Jesus says over and over and over again in this blessed book, there is hope. And I'm here to tell you today, for as long as I live, that will be my message to lost and dying man. There is hope in Christ. There's hope for a nation. There's hope for a family. There's hope for a drunkard. There's hope for an alcoholic. There's hope for a drug addicted person. There's hope for the prostitute. There is hope. Can you say amen in the Lord Jesus Christ? Hallelujah to God. Amos, in the midst of preaching judgment, he offers this wonderful truth called hope. This morning, I want to draw your attention to some conclusions from Moses, not Moses. I always get Amos Moses mixed up. Y'all ever heard that song, Amos Moses? As a matter of fact, I was studying this message yesterday, and I went over to YouTube and just had to hear Jerry Reed pick Amos Moses one more time, Jimmy. You know, every time I read Amos, I think of that. But anyhow, it's not Amos Moses, it's Amos, all right? I want to draw some conclusions from Amos's message this morning. And I want you to look, first of all, at his exposition of his sermon. You'll find this in chapter number 7, in verses 14 down to verse number 15. What's interesting about this is the Bible says, "And then Amos said, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, Go, prophesy unto my people Israel." You know, Amos says, "I'm not a prophet. And I wasn't born a prophet's son. I'm just a simple farmer. I was out doing exactly what I was supposed to do. I was gathering fruit. And all of a sudden, this ordinary day became an extraordinary day." Do you know, friend, that today can be an extraordinary day for you? You could be living out your life as a mom, as a dad, as a worker, whatever it may be, and the Lord just comes to you, and he says, "This is what I want you to do." I remember the first time I met Brother Roy, and Roy had never, ever worked in missions before until I came to him, and I said, "Would you like to be, you and your wife, would you like to be a part of our missions?" And it absolutely was, it startled him. You can ask him. He had never been asked before. And the Lord showed me something that was in him that he didn't even realize that was within himself. And I'm just so glad that this church has reached out and pulled it out of him. And the Lord has allowed us to do some amazing things in the area of missions, because on an ordinary day in his life became an extraordinary day when he realized that he was called to the gospel ministry of missions. And I'm here to tell you today, it will be an extraordinary day in your life when you open up your heart to the mandates of God. And when God calls on you, just go. Don't argue with God. Don't fuss with God. Don't run away from God. When God calls you, just open up your heart and go through the door of ministry. You will be better off if you believe it. Say amen. That's exactly what happened to old Amos. And his exposition is this: the Lord took me and I follow the flock. And the Lord said, go prophesy unto my people Israel. The Lord gave Amos four sermons. There were four messages to the people, and you can find them very quickly in the first verse of several chapters. First of all, chapter 3, verse 1. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken. Chapter 4, verse 1. Hear this word. Chapter 5, verse 1. Hear ye this word which I take up against you. Chapter 7 and verse 1. Now therefore, hear thou the word of the Lord. These are the messages of Amos that he delivered to the people of God. Notice that he never said, hear me. He never said, listen to what I have to say. But Amos said, hear him. Listen to the words of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to listen to the preacher, but I want you to hear from heaven. Amos said, this is the message God has given to me. Hear this word. Hear this word. Hear ye this word. Now therefore, hear thou the word of the Lord. By faith, he preached the facts of Almighty God. And today I'm calling upon every preacher, every teacher, every lay person here. If you're going to stand in the gap and do ministry, don't tell people to listen to you. Tell them to hear from heaven. Amen. You preach the facts with faith in God Almighty. Amos is standing in the gap and he's preaching on judgment. And with great confidence from God, he says, this is the word of the Lord. Hear him. I was reading about a Native American who was walking down the street with a businessman. And they were in a busy city like Atlanta or Chicago. And they're walking down the street and the Native American says, can you hear those crickets? And he said, crickets? I mean, they're in the middle of Chicago. There's horns blowing, people walking, there's people everywhere. And he said, yeah, crickets. He said, man, you're crazy. You know, how in the world could anybody hear a cricket around? There ain't no crickets around here. And they walked just a little further, and the Native Indian stopped, and he reached down in the corner of the building, and he picked up a tiny little cricket, and he said, there it is. Well, the businessman, he's like, what? That's amazing. He said, how in the world could you hear a cricket in the midst of all the noise and all the sound? The Native American said something that all of us need to learn. He said, when you're in tune with nature, you hear what nature is saying. He said, you're in tune with money. He said, watch this. He pulls out some coins and he throws the coins out on the street. And when the change hit the ground, everyone standing around all the noise quickly turned to look at the money. You see, your ears will tune into what you're one with. If you're one with money and your passion is money, that's what you're going to listen to. The Indian said, I'm one with nature, so I hear the cricket. Can I tell you today, we need to be one with God. We need to be one with God. No matter what's happening, no matter what's happening around us, in the midst of all the confusion and all the chaos, our government's in a mess, our country's in a mess, our economy's in a mess. There's so many voices in the world, isn't there? You don't believe me? Just look on Facebook. Amen? Amen? You don't believe me? Everyone has an opinion about everything. Just look at Facebook. Can I tell you this? And it's not in my notes, all right? Use Facebook to bring honor and glory to Christ, and that's it. Amen? If you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have one. Make Facebook God's book, amen? Put a picture out there of your family. Say something nice, positive, all this and that. Don't puke out all your problems and all this and that and say bad things about people and all this and that. Use it to bring honor and glory to Christ. That was absolutely free, and I didn't even have that in my notes. That is free for everybody in here, amen? Bring honor and glory to Christ. There's so many voices in the world, so many negative opinions in the world, but it doesn't matter. When you are walking with Jesus and you're in tune with Him, it is your nature to hear the sounds of God. The people were walking out of conjunction with God, and so the Lord says, Amos, I want you to go prophesy unto my people, and here is your sermon. Hear this word, hear this word, hear this word, hear this word. That is your five sermons that you are delivered to the people of God, because the Bible has a great deal to say about hearing. Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 5, they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there have been a prophet among them. The Bible says, and they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, they're a rebellious house. Verse 8 of Ezekiel 2, but thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee, be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 2. Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. We are living in a time of rebellion. And not only does the New Testament declare that people ought to hear, but the New Testament declares people ought to hear. Matthew chapter 11, verse 15. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew chapter 13, verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Mark chapter 12, verse 29, and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one Lord. Revelation chapter 13, verse 9, if any man hath an ear, let him hear. You say, Brother David, why does God place a premium on hearing? What's the importance of hearing the word of the Lord? Romans chapter 10, verse 17 is the answer. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of the Lord. Can you say amen? You say, Brother David, I want my faith to grow in 2013. I want God to bless me and help me with my faith. Then be in church more often. Faith comes by hearing. It doesn't say faith comes by doing. Faith comes by hearing. Every time the church doors are open, you ought to be in the house of God so your faith can grow. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing what? Hearing the word of the Lord. Amos, go tell them my word. Why? They are lacking in faith. And that is the exposition of his sermon. Hear the word of the Lord. Secondly, not only do we see his exposition, but in chapter number 3, we see his explanation. Now, every preacher ought to give an exposition, and they ought to follow it with some type of explanation as to why God wants us to do these things, and this is what we find in chapter number 3. In chapter 3, Amos explains why judgment is coming upon the people of God. It's found in verse number 1 of chapter 3. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, and he lays into this sermon. Amos begins by saying to them that you are God's chosen people. In fact, he calls them, look at verse number 1, the whole family. You are the family of God. He is saying, I brought you from the land of Egypt. You are God's special chosen people. He delivered you. He watched out over you. He helped you through that great Exodus experience. And God did. God brought them out. God brought them out of slavery and bondage and brought them into the promised land. While Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 and 8 tells us that. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you And because he would keep the oath which he swore unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen for the land of hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He delivered them, the Bible says, because he loved them. Can I tell you why God delivered you and why God saved you? Can I tell you that this morning? I got news for you. It's not because of who you are, what you've done, or it's because you're a Baptist or any denominational ties. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God saved you because God loved you. Basically, God is saying that you don't deserve this, Israel. You didn't choose me. I chose you. It's not because there's any worth on your part. It's all because of my grace, my mercy, and my love. That's the reason why you're redeemed. It's not because I walked around and looked at all the gods of the world and said, okay, I'm going to choose you. And it's like God standing there with his hat off saying, pick me, pick me. I hope you pick me. No, I didn't pick him. He chose me, hallelujah. But for the foundation of the world, why? Because he loved me and he wanted to redeem me and bring me to heaven to be with him. That's what God is saying to Israel. He's saying that you have been chosen by the lovely hand of Almighty God. And the Bible states the same in the New Testament. Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. John chapter 15, verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. You know, there's nothing within us that can save us. It's all by God's grace and God's mercy. Israel was chosen by God to be his witness and a blessing to all the nations. And you and I are called for the same purpose. Look at chapter 3 and verse number 2. Notice what the Lord says. You only have I known. You only have I known. That word known there in chapter 3 and verse number 2, it's a word in the Hebrew that means to know intimately. God intimately knew them. He knew everything about them. He loved them. But unfortunately for the nation of Israel, they began to presume upon the privileges of God. And they didn't think that God would judge them for their sins. Can I remind you of what the Bible has to say? The Bible says that God is not mocked. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, with great privilege comes great responsibility. Let me say that again. With great privilege, listen, comes great responsibility. God has given us a great privilege. He has invited us into the family of God. He has redeemed us. He has washed us with his blood. He has given us grace, mercy, and hope. He has sealed us under the day of redemption. He has written our name down in the Lamb's book of life. We have the majesty of his name. We have the beautiful power of his blood. We have the authority of the word of God. With great privilege today, because great responsibility, we will stand before God one day, all prepared to meet your God, is Amos's sermon. God has blessed us and give us such a wonderful privilege. Let's enter into that great responsibility of doing something amazing for him. If you believe us, say amen. God would bring judgment on them basically because of their neglect. Look at chapter 3, verse 2. Ye only have I known for all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. You have neglected to do what is right. And Israel is in a mess. Let me ask you this. Have you ever thought that the messes in life could be a message from the Lord? The mess in your life right now could literally be a message from the Lord. God's trying to get your attention. God's trying to stir you up. God's trying to get you to focus on not your problem, but on the problem solver. And that's exactly what's happening to the nation of Israel. This mess in life is really a message from the Lord. And Amos is saying, hear ye the word of the Lord. Look at verse number 7. He says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals the secrets unto his servants, the prophet. Amos is saying, God's spoken to me, and he told me what he's getting ready to do. God has spoken to me, and now I'm speaking to you. God has revealed this secret to me, and he has called me to declare it to you. Ladies and gentlemen, every time the man of God stands behind the sacred desk of God, and he is preaching, basically he is saying, God has spoken to me, and God is telling me what he's getting ready to do. Hear ye the word of the Lord, that the message of life could be a message from God Almighty. As a matter of fact, I'll go as far to say that every preacher and teacher should not only give exposition, hear ye the word of the Lord, he ought to give an explanation, heed the word of the Lord. God is saying today, heed the word. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have made their faith, the Bible says, shipwrecked. Many folks today have ruined themselves, shipwrecked their faith. Their life is in despair. Their life is a mess. And God has sent you here this morning with the man of God, the songs of God. Straighten your life out. You see, we learn some things from Amos. We learn about his exposition. He says, hear ye the word of the Lord. That should be the message of the man of God. He gives his explanation, and not only hearing the word, but heeding the word. But then I want you to look last of all, real quickly, chapter 4. I want you to look at his exhortation. Here, when you study the book as a whole, understand it is gloom and doom. Israel has passed God's deadline. God has sent his man, Amos, Isaiah. He'd be a contemporary of Isaiah. God has sent his men to proclaim and to preach the word, and the people of God has basically crossed God's deadline. How do we know that? The Bible tells us in chapter 4, in verse number 12, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, listen, prepare to meet thy God. This is not an evangelistic invitation here. This is not every head bowed, every eye closed here going on. This is, you've crossed God's deadline. Judgment is coming. Prepare to meet God. You've not listened to the mandates of God. You've rejected the message of God. You've rejected the mercy of God. This is not an evangelistic invitation. He's saying, it's like a tsunami is coming. Prepare! Judgment is getting ready to flood on this nation. You know, when the tsunami came and it hit so many years ago back there in Indonesia, they say when a tsunami begins to rise up in the ocean, it takes a little time because of the earthquakes that are happening underneath. And that mountain of water, when it splashes onto shore and it hits, there's such a suction that comes back that everything that the water touches, it pulls right back into the ocean. I'm here to tell you, friend, there's coming a day that America is going to collide with the tsunami of God. Judgment is coming, and when the tsunami of God lands across our shores, everything in its path will be drawn back out into despair, lost at sea with no hope. Oh, prepare to meet your God. A judgment is coming, he is saying. Now, that was for Israel. That is not for us. It was too late for Israel, but it is not too late for us. God today, in the day of grace, is extending mercy. God is extending grace. God has sent his man and his singers and his teachers to preach thus the word of the Lord, exposition, to give explanation. Judgment is coming because of your sin. But he gives an exhortation. Prepare to meet God in the midst of this mandate and this message. Watch this. Amos throws out a lifeline. Amos chapter 5, verse 4. For thus saith the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and ye shall live. Amos 5, verse 8. Seek him that maketh the seven stars, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Chapter 5, verse 14, seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you, as ye have spoken. Prepare to meet your God. Amos has told the people of God, there is hope. There's hope in Christ. Seek the Lord today. Can I ask you, where are you at spiritually? Could it be that the message in life is a message from the Lord? The very thing that you're going through right now, God is trying to get your attention, shake you up, put you on your knees, and have you to recognize His sovereignty in your life. It was too late for Israel. Listen, it's not too late for you. The Lord seeks those who will come to Him. If you will come to Him today, call upon Him in faith, believing no matter what's happened in your life, God will save you and God will grant you the mercy. He said, Brother David, I want my life fixed. I need my life fixed today. The starting point is right here at this altar. You believe that? The starting point's right here. Call upon Him today. Jesus never said there is no hope. As a matter of fact, from cover to cover, Jesus says there is hope. If you believe it, say amen. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word today. We thank You, God, for the great book of Amos. Lord, what a fiery preacher, Lord, he was, being obedient to the call. But even his name, Amos, means burden bearer. Lord, as he preached with a tear in his eye. He was brokenhearted over the sin of his nation, of the people of God. So, Father, today I pray, Lord, that You would help us to be brokenhearted over the sin and the despair that's in our world. Broken homes, broken lives, broken families, longing for hope, longing for comfort. Father, give it to them today. May they find rest in Christ and Christ alone. And we will praise You for it. For it's in the lovely name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.